Hi, this is Pastor Curtis Crawford welcoming you to our podcast. At Revive Outreach Church, we're striving to revive an awareness of Christ in our communities through Christ-centered compassion, service, and evangelism. You can learn more about us online at www.reviveoc.org or on Facebook at facebook.com/reviveoutreachchurch. We hope that you enjoy this message, and God bless.
Luke chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. I'm not going to read them all to you today, but I am going to read the first few. It says, "Then sailed to the country of the Gadarenes, which is opposite Galilee. And when he stepped out on the land, there met him a certain man from the city who had demons for a long time. And he wore no clothes, nor did he live in a house, but in the tombs. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out, fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, 'What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me.' For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for it had often seized him, and he was kept under guard, bound with chains and shackles. And he broke the bonds and was driven by the demon into the wilderness. And Jesus said to him, saying, 'What is your name?' And he said, 'Legion,' because many demons had entered him, and they begged him that he would not command them to go out into the abyss. And now a herd of swine was feeding there in the mountains, so they begged him that he would permit them to enter them, and he permitted them. And then the demons went out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the lake and drowned." Father God, continue to have your way in the service today. I ask you, God, that you'd open our ears so we may hear, and our hearts that we may understand and receive from you, Father. God, I ask that you'd anoint me and touch me, that I'd say nothing more and nothing less than what you have for your people today, God. I'm relying 100% solely upon you. In the precious holy name of Jesus, amen. This story is found also in Matthew chapter 8 and Mark chapter 5. And it is an interesting story because Jesus has got on a boat, and he's left to get away from the crowds, and he's come to this area which was originally belonged to the tribe of Gad. This was the tribe that did not cross over the Jordan to go into the promised land. They said, we like this land on this side of the promised land. Let us stay over here. But we'll go over and help you fight to get the rest of it. But we like over here on this side of the Jordan. So that's where Jesus was. Okay? Now in this story, I want to look at three reactions to Christ and his presence. Three different and distinct reactions to Christ and his presence. Okay? The first is that when Jesus Christ exited the boat and he stepped upon the shore, the Bible tells us that these crazy guys came running out of the cemetery to meet him. Now, Matthew tells us that it was two guys. Luke and Mark focus on one guy, probably because one of them was the one who was speaking, while the other one really wasn't saying anything. The Bible says that they were infested, they were possessed by demons. So much so that when they bound them to keep them away from the people, to protect the people from them, as well as to protect themselves, they bound them that they would have a supernatural strength to break the chains or whatever they used to fetter them in place. And so the devil, the demons, were possessing them, giving them supernatural strength, and driving them out of their minds. Wow. They no longer had control over themselves. They were fully possessed by demons. And so the Bible says that when Jesus stepped out upon the shore, that these men ran to him. Now, imagine an area big enough that the Bible tells us there were at least 2,000 pigs grazing. You can see that, I believe, in the book of Matthew. 2,000 pigs grazing. There's also caves and mountainous region with caves. And there's also a cemetery, a graveyard. So this isn't a small area. 2,000 pigs, they take up a lot of space, right? This is a large area, so we have no idea what proximity Christ had to the graveyard or any of those things. All we know is that it's a large area, and when Christ stepped out of the boat, the demons ran to him. They recognized who he was. They recognized that he was God. They actually refer to him, Jesus, Son of God. What do you have to do with us? Basically, leave us alone, please. So they acknowledged that he was God, God's power, God incarnate. And so when Christ stepped out, they knew something changed in the atmosphere, and they were not going to allow Jesus to find them. They ran to Jesus. Why? The Bible says that when Jesus cast them out, they said to him, "Don't cast us into the abyss." What they recognize is that if Jesus cast them out from this physical form, they only had one place to go. That is the place reserved for the demons in hell, the abyss. All right? So they didn't want to go there. So they ran to Christ and they said, "Don't send us there. Don't torment us. How about you send us into these pigs over here?" And so the reaction of the demons was to acknowledge Christ as God. They feared him, but they did not respect him. Remember, these are demons that, these are angels that rejected God and followed Lucifer. So they ran to him, they feared him, and feared what he could do to them, right? And so they ran to him to head him off. And so Jesus says to them, "Look, go ahead, go into the swines." And so the demons left, the men went into the pigs, the whole lot of them, every single pig that was grazing was possessed by a demon, and instead of sitting there and grazing, the pigs ran down the hillside and drowned themselves in the water. So they lost their physical form anyways, because the pigs drowned them and they had to leave anyway. Now, Jesus knew who was there, who inhabited it. He knew the demon-possessed guys were there. He knew that it was pig farmers. And let me share this with you, that Jews were forbidden to work, eat, touch, be with pigs. They were unclean. So for these Jewish individuals with Gentiles to be farming pigs was the lowest of the low. They knew better. They should not have been raising pigs, feeding pigs, or eating pigs, or selling pigs. They were unclean. So not only had Gad remained on the opposite side of the Jordan, now they had taken on pigs to raise. All right? And so they were amongst this unclean environment, making a living from unclean things. And so what I want to look at today specifically is the response of the people when the pigs killed themselves. So you have the demons afraid of Jesus, ran to him to avoid some kind of punishment, early punishment. They didn't want to be tormented before their time. And then he cast them into pigs. Now you have the men who are suddenly in their right mind. And the Bible says that the people saw this and went and told everyone else. The people who were there to feed the pigs went and told everybody else. The people who owned the pigs, the people in the city, all the people in the surrounding villages. Hey, look what happened. And the story wasn't just that Jesus had freed this guy or these men who had been bound by demons for all of these years, who were themselves, and Jesus did it. Right? Oh, yeah, these two guys are healed, but your pigs killed themselves. Now, the Bible tells us here in Luke chapter 8 that the man was clothed. They were in their right mind, sitting with Jesus. When the people came to him, in fact, the man begged Jesus, let us go with you. Let me go with you. Please let me go with you. You have set me free. I was bound. I was not in control of myself. And now suddenly I'm in my right mind and I'm free. Let me go with you. He wanted out of that place. And Jesus said to him, no, take what I have done for you, what God has done for you, and tell everyone about it. So he did not let the man go with him, but he told the man to take what God had done for him and go share it with others, the testimony, the miracle that God had done. So you have the demons that feared God and only feared him and what God would do to them. Then you have the man who God set free, who recognized the freedom that he'd been given because he'd been bound for all of these years, who came to Jesus and said, please let me go with you, because clearly you are God. Clearly you can do things that man cannot do. Clearly you have done something for me that no one else could do for me. I want to be with you. You're awesome. You're God. I want to worship you. And then you have the response of the people. Now, Jesus had just performed an amazing miracle. Remember, they couldn't do anything for these guys. And in one word, Jesus set them free. In a moment, he set those guys free. But the people, the Bible says, in Luke chapter 5, when they saw the pigs had all killed themselves, that they feared and asked him to leave. Now, he had just done an amazing miracle. There was nothing that those guys could question. The people knew these men. The villagers knew these men, right? They knew what they were. They knew that they had bound them and they had broken the bounds. They knew they were crazy lunatics running around naked in the cemetery, right? They were maniacs. So when they saw them, and they were suddenly clothed and cleaned up and shaven, and they were suddenly in their right mind having a conversation with people, they should have been amazed and said, Jesus, what can you do for me? Mm-hmm. But no. Why? Because their pigs had been killed. That which they had made their living off had been destroyed. Now, they weren't supposed to be raising pigs. But they were raising them anyways. They weren't supposed to be touching those pigs, but they were touching them anyways. They shouldn't have been selling them, but they were selling them anyways. So when Jesus allowed the pigs to drown, and as far as they were concerned, he was the one that killed the pigs, right? They got angry. And they were afraid, what else was he going to destroy? Right? There would be only one reason to be afraid, and that fear would be, uh-oh, what about my other pigs? Do you see what I'm saying? What else is he going to drive out? What else is he going to hurt? What else is he going to destroy? Right? That had to be the only thing that we were afraid of, was that he would hurt their other pigs or hurt something else. Now, you and I have pigs in our lives. Amen. Unclean things that we know we should not participate, do, or be involved in that we don't want removed. So even though God has done miracles for us, he saved us, he set us free, maybe he's healed you, he's given you supernatural strength and supernatural peace, he's done miracles for you and in your life, we still don't want to get rid of our pigs. Wow. Right? And so maybe we've given up some of our pigs and we're afraid to give up the rest of our pigs. And so we live our lives protecting those pigs, even though we know they're unclean. And rather than have God clean house and get rid of them, we tell them, you know, why don't you just move on?
Wow.
Right? We shut the door and say, don't look behind that door? You know, why don't you just stay over on this side of the house? Or how about you go to the neighbor's house, right? Because the Bible tells us that when the people asked Jesus to leave, guess what he did? He left. He got back on that boat. He went right back to the other side. And the people that he had left were waiting on him. The Bible says in Luke chapter 5, verse 40, and I'll read it for you here. So it was when Jesus returned that the multitude welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. See the difference in the attitude? These individuals who lost their pigs were so afraid that they might lose something else that they asked Jesus to leave. And so while you say to yourself, and I say to myself, you know, I've never asked Jesus officially to leave. I've never, you know, never said that. I've never said, because goodness gracious, who would actually say, Jesus, why don't you pack up and move on? But what we do is we make him unwelcome in certain areas of our lives.
Amen.
See, they made him unwelcome there in their area because of the pig farms. We make Christ unwelcome in our lives because we don't want him exploring areas that aren't supposed to be. We went to Pastor Matt's house last night, and he made a comment about don't look in his drawers or his closets. Right? Have you ever had that person that comes into your house? I had a person that lived with us who would actually go through people's mail that wasn't their mail. Right? We've had people come in my house. When I used to do youth group at our house years ago, you have 15, 20 kids in your house, and those jokers go everywhere, and they open drawers and closets and get into stuff that they should. You know what I'm saying? Stuff you just rather them not touch. Right? We do that to Jesus. We don't want you in our drawers. Stay out of my closets. Right? We're going to relegate you to the sitting room where the nice furniture is. That's all dusted. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. You all got that one room in the house that you make sure has the nicer furniture and make sure it's clean, and that when people come over, that's where they sit. You know what I'm saying? That's where you got the pretty pictures hanging on the walls. And that's where you invite your guests to be, because the rest of the house might be dirty. Haven't been swept. Hasn't been vacuumed. You don't want them to see that you live like a slob during the week. So you relegate them to this one room. Right? We do that with Christ because we're afraid. Not only will he discover what we think we've hidden from him, he might pick up a dust rag and start cleaning up. You know what I'm saying? Now, Kelly would be enthusiastic if I picked up a dust rag and started cleaning every once in a while. Right? But when a visitor comes into your house and they pick up a broom and start sweeping, are you appreciative or embarrassed and maybe even ashamed? You're going to be embarrassed. Someone that comes into your house and suddenly they're getting out the dust rag or the Windex and clearing your mirror. You know what I'm saying, right? You're going to be like, no. What do you think you're doing? We don't want Christ to clean up those areas of our lives because they're comfortable, because they give us pleasure, because they hurt to get rid of. Right? Remember, these pigs were the livelihood of these people. Right? That's how they made their money. That's how they survived, was raising pigs. That's how they put food on their table, clothes on their back, and a roof over their head. Were pigs. So when they lost 2,000 of those pigs, guess what? Their pocketbook hurt. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That meant they were not, those were 2,000 pigs they weren't selling. Do you see what I'm saying? It hurt them. So sometimes when Jesus goes to work in our lives, it hurts. Yeah. Right? He goes in to start tearing things away, and it hurts. I tell you, I've been on more than one occasion hurt by when I start to be convicted by something that has maybe been a part of my life for a very long time. And the guilt and the shame, no one likes to feel that. Amen. No one likes to dredge that nonsense up. Not to mention, if it gives me pleasure and peace of mind for a moment in time, I like to keep so I can pull it out every once in a while. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Right? I don't want to cut that loose. So we tell God, you know what? Rather than you help me clean up, why don't you just stay over here? Amen. And we can never be what God wants us to be as long as we choose pigs over Christ. Wow. As long as we choose that which is unclean over our Savior. Amen. Right? Now, as long as you and I reject Him for what should be rejected, we can never be what God wants us to be. Amen. Right? And the Bible is filled with stories of individuals who would not deal with the pigs in their lives and the consequences that they faced. King Saul, his pig was jealousy. He was jealous of David. He had a pig of rebelliousness. What started the whole thing? He was king. And he thought the king could do whatever he wanted. So he offered the sacrifice without Samuel the priest. So pride was his pig. Jealousy was his pig. David had a pig. His pig was a lustful heart. His pig was a lustful heart that looked and longed upon women. You can't tell me that David never lusted in his heart until he saw Bathsheba naked from his roof. Like, that don't just happen once. That's something you've plotted and planned. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, he probably knew that he could go up on the roof and watch the ladies bathe. Come on. That wasn't a one-time deal where suddenly he was surprised when he got up there at bathing time and there she was naked. Come on. That was probably something that he did over and over and over again, refused to deal with the pig in his life, and eventually it cost him severely. It cost him his son that was conceived with her, and his children rebelled. I mean, really rebelled against him. But he didn't deal with the pig in his life, and the pig, that uncleanness, hurt him. Amen. Right? There's story after story of people who have kept their pigs to the side and they come back to haunt them. Amen. Right? My pig, no pun intended, is I have no self-control when it comes to eating. There are consequences for that, right? Mm-hmm. Diabetes, heart disease, high cholesterol. You know what I'm saying? Right? I can't blame God for that. That's me not getting rid of my pig. Food makes me feel comfortable when I'm upset and depressed. I don't turn to God. I go to a cheeseburger. Right? I'm just trying to make it real, folks. Right? Because eating gives me a source of comfort while I'm eating. And then I feel guilty about it later. But not guilty enough to not grab a chocolate bar the next time I'm depressed. So take that and apply it to your life. Maybe it's romantic novels, or it's pornography, or it's TV shows that aren't appropriate, right? Come on. Where you feel guilty when you read it, or you feel guilty when you look at it, it's your pig. But in that moment that you feel like you have to have it, you drag it out, you feast on it, and then when you're done, and after the euphoria has worn out, there's nothing but guilt and shame left. But not enough guilt and shame to keep us from pulling it out the next time.
That's right.
Right? And here's the thing. The Holy Spirit is willing to clean out the pig pen.
Yeah.
If we'll let Him.
Right.
He'll clean us up. If we'll let Him. I am as guilty as anyone else. That if I pray and ask God to help me have self-control, which, by the way, I've done a million and one times. Right? But I don't give the Holy Spirit control, guess what? He can't clean it out. Mm-hmm. See, I can say it with my mouth and not mean it with my heart.
Yeah.
Right? I can say with my mouth, Jesus don't go nowhere, but in my heart, wishing, hoping Him to move on. Mm-hmm. And so our lives are impacted by that choice, so that we are miserable, that we're lonely, that we're ashamed. We keep living in our own sin. There's condemnation. Remember, Romans chapter 8 says, therefore, there is no condemnation to who? You have to be in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. Meaning, when you're in Christ, when you put a coat on, And I only put it like this. Am I covered in my coat?
No.
So when it talks about being in Christ Jesus, you can't only be halfway in. Mm-hmm. Right? You can't have only given him half of it. Mm-hmm. You got to give him the whole thing. To be in Christ Jesus means you're bundled up with him. Mm-hmm. Right? That means that he's in control of your life. It means that he has wrapped you up and he is Lord of your life. So there is no condemnation for those who are covered in Jesus.
Amen.
But there is condemnation for those who have a tippy toe in Jesus. Come on. Right? Why? Because our lives and the choices that you and I make bring condemnation. My past does not condemn me. Remember that. If I'm covered in Christ Jesus, my past does not condemn me. My present can, however.
Amen.
Condemnation, guilt, being ashamed because of not being willing to get rid of the pigs in my life. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But there is condemnation for those who are standing only halfway in and halfway out. It's not God's will for us to live our lives feeling condemned and guilty. But if you and I don't give him control of our lives, that's exactly how we'll live. Feeling guilty and ashamed. Never fully covered. Never fully in Christ Jesus. Now, we make mistakes. Everyone's going to make mistakes and screw up and, you know, sin. So that's not what I'm talking about, is someone just making a mistake. What I'm talking about is strongholds in our lives where we've allowed the pigs to take root and we allow them just to graze and thrive and grow.
Amen.
It started out with one pig, now you got two pigs, three pigs, four pigs, five pigs, right? And you got before you know it, you got a whole herd of pigs grazing in their backyard.
Wow.
We have to give the Holy Spirit the latitude in our lives to do what's necessary to help us walk according to the Spirit. But giving someone else control is hard for all the reasons mentioned before. We don't always want to give up what gives us joy and comfort, even if it's only temporary.
Amen.
That excitement, that euphoria, that pleasure, because it temporarily relieves depression, anxiety, and fear. But see, God wants to give you and I a peace that's always there, a joy that's always there, a comfort that's always there. But he can't give that if we're still taking and raising pigs. If we choose the pigs over him, then there's nothing he can do for us. And we cannot expect to walk in peace and comfort and joy and happiness if we still are living with pigs.
Thank you for listening to this message. We hope that you enjoyed it and were blessed by it. Each month, we have people from all over the world who listen to the messages made available. If you've been blessed by this ministry, would you consider making a donation of any amount to help support us as we continue to reach a loss for Christ? Donations can be made online at www.reviveoc.org or by check at Revive Outreach Church, 411 Chatham Heights Road, Suite 101, Fredericksburg, Virginia, 22405. Thank you for your prayers and your continued support. May God richly bless you.